the following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This broadcast is for information purposes only and should not be regarded as a recommendation or an offer to sell or solicitation of an offer to buy securities or investments mentioned herein. This broadcast is the opinion of Jordan Kimmel. At the time of this broadcast, a member of Mr. Kimmel's household owns shares of the company discussed in this program. Additional information on topics discussed herein available upon request.
This is Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Profitable Investing is a show that will take you through the ever-changing world of investing for a profit. Now here's the host of Profitable Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back, everybody, to Magnet Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And we have a couple really dynamic guests lined up as usual. We're going to be looking at the numbers side. We're going to be looking at really what companies are worth, maybe on an earnings yield. Sound complicated? Not really. We're going to bring on Straight Talker from S&P, Rich Tortorello, author of one of the top quantitative books out there that I happen to like. We're also going to bring on a gentleman who knows about recycling. He's been in the business for about 50 years. He's going to talk about the clunker program, what it really meant, and what things look like going forward in that area. So what I always do in this segment is kind of bring it together on what I think I see is happening in the market. And let me share with you, just last week when I was on CNBC, the discussion was, don't we need a pullback? Isn't a pullback really necessary right here to give people a chance to refresh, the market a chance to refresh? And the reality is, although everyone is expecting continued bad news, what I continue to say is here we've had a pullback. We've had an opportunity with persistent selling now for five straight days. And yet when you look at the market itself, Only 11 new lows showed up. But when you dig a little bit deeper, there was literally only one public stock that trades above $20 a share, trades above $15 a share, that hit a new low yesterday. What we have is a pause that refreshes. What we have, folks, is simply something people don't really understand right now. Real estate starting to tick back up again, consumer confidence starting to tick back up again. And in the marketplace, which is always dealing with psychology to begin with, often the public will overpay or refuse to pay for public companies, not depending on what their last quarter's earnings are, but their expectations of the future, their expectations that they'll be able to maintain their job, expectations that maybe they'll actually get a raise or begin to feel a little bit more confident, expectations that companies may begin to do better. And again, what I talked about over and over in the media and all the articles and in my new book that just came out this month is the fact that if you're looking at the consumer being tapped out, please remember that only 5% of the world's consumers live in this country. And we are seeing right now building going on throughout not only China, where everyone points, but basically on every continent, you have a larger population simply eating better, eating more, roads, bridges being built, and guess what? Every second grader this year is going to be a third grader next year. And people get older, they have kids, it's population growth, and this is just really what it's all about. It's about a $14 trillion U.S. economy that marginally goes up or down a couple of percent per year. But that's a huge engine, folks. That's a huge engine to feed. And what I've talked about is while companies may be earning less than they did a year ago during or 2 years ago during a peak earnings period, they're not as a whole losing money. And in fact, when you go outside the financial sector, which is a complicated sector, which frankly too many off balance sheets, too much wacky stuff at least going on for Jordan Kimmel, you have companies holding more cash than at any time relative to their market value than we've seen. This is why we're seeing a steady flow of mergers and acquisitions, not only folks in the multi-billion dollar range, but also on the sub-level where divisions are being moved around, frankly, in the energy, in the basic materials area, these companies are generating so much excess cash flow that either they'll be paying out special dividends or you'll be considering seeing more and more mergers and acquisition areas. What we do, again, we don't believe that everything's a buy. The whole premise of my new book, The Magnet Method of Investing, frankly, is all about the tip of the bell curve, the companies that actually literally sit outside the bell curve and are generating more free cash flow, are generating more revenue growth than any other companies in their sectors. And when you can actually kind of close your eyes and close your mind to the average and go beyond diversification and simply ask yourself which companies dominate their industries, well, I think that what you can do at that stage is kind of tune out a lot of the nonsense that you hear, the layoffs you hear, the kind of older companies that had their run and the run is done. And in fact, when I look at what's going on with the top 20 companies that we selected just a couple months ago and we were going to print, it follows exactly what we've seen, what I've seen in the last 20 years of being in this business. There's a couple of outliners, even within the portfolio, that are really the true magnets. And we're seeing a couple of them just go on a run right now. And this is what creates outside portfolio. Now, there is no holy grail, folks. There is no magician. There's no magic in this market. It's a matter of putting odds in your favor, probability in your favor, isolating the best of the best, and then using professional money management. What am I talking about? Again, we don't pump stocks in here. We haven't given an individual name out in a long time. But there's some companies on the portfolio that were selected a couple months ago which, frankly, are not performing well. And you can't select 20 stocks and they all turn into superheroes. So what you need to do is couple portfolio management with stock selection and put your ego away and run a portfolio like you'd run a sports team. If someone's producing and someone is healthy and someone's in the lineup doing great, you're not going to take that guy out of the lineup. If instead someone gets injured, somebody just simply loses their way, what you do is you replace them in the lineup with somebody else. And this is what portfolio management is about, not a matter of insisting that you're right, averaging down, and all the things, frankly, that you do wrong and why great managers have had such disastrous problems in the past. And again, I'll be going on CNBC tomorrow at 3 p.m. ahead of a long holiday weekend. This summer has exceeded everybody's expectations. But folks, the real money comes back to work always at the end of the summer. You'll begin to see money flow increase. You'll begin to see volume increase. And yes, I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, some scary days in September. Everyone's kind of braced for them. When you walk around the floor of the New York Stock Exchange right now, people are just looking over their shoulder expecting to see a ghost. That is why so much money is put on the sidelines right now. This is why there is so much fear in the market. People have literally been tortured for 10 years now. Go back 10 full years from now to where we stood in the fall of 1999. It couldn't have gotten any better in terms of sentiment, in terms of expectations. It couldn't have got any shallower, in fact, with cash on the sidelines. And the next thing that we had, with everyone's expectations very high, with everyone's money put into the center of the pot right there, you had the 10 years of the worst rolling 10-year return since they've been calculating returns in the stock market. And folks, bear markets create opportunities. Bull markets create excesses. We saw leverage used a decade ago that was just out of control. We saw optimism, enthusiasm, people bidding on everything that said .com on it without trying to say, is there revenue, is there margin, is there cash flow, what's going on actually inside the company, not a business plan, but are they in fact executing. So we're not going to say that we can see the future, because I can't, but one of the most interesting things that I've seen lately in terms of statistics is we're trying to keep jobs, maintain jobs. Well, that's not what growth is about. Growth is about new jobs and new industry. And today, roughly 30 or 40%, I'm not sure the exact number, of Americans are working in industries that didn't exist 30 years ago. Think about that for a minute. 30% are working in industries that didn't even exist. So as you go forward, you could look in terms of the old buggy whips. You could look in terms of the construction of railroads, and you could have pointed in 1910 of all the railroads that got overbuilt, too many companies building them, too many companies building rail cars, and all the bankruptcies that were taking place right then. And I think you all wish right now that your grandparents and your great-grandparents started putting their money in the stock market and rolled right through the Depression, right through the last 10 years that we lived, and had a trust fund set up for you and your kids, because, folks, that's how real wealth is generated, through ownership, through equity, whether it's real estate, whether it's property, whether it's securities. If you keep your money in the lending market, the fixed income market, for safety purposes, you will not lose your money, but you will lose your purchasing power. We go back to the definition of trying to redefine what risk actually means. In the Magnet Method of Investing, we actually include the definitions from all kinds of people when we have a chapter that I desperately am trying to help America redefine risk. Folks, volatility is not risk. Volatility, in fact, creates opportunity. Bear markets create opportunity. You can get yourself an average return in the stock market, folks, which will probably be not so bad over the next 10, 20, 30, or 50 years. Or you could go on the tip of the bell curve and actually seek out the best opportunities out there. Now, coming up, we're going to bring on the author of a fascinating book, Quantitative Strategies for Achieving Alpha. Don't let the name scare you. Richard Tortorello from S&P is going to make it common sense. The screens he looks for, the companies that he finds when he does that. Stick with us, folks. We're going to be right back following this quick break. We're going to take a look at the market from an unemotional side, a side that you need to look at. It's the quantitative side, the earnings side, the money side. Coming up, Rich Tortorello from S&P. Stick with us. We'll be right back following this quick break.
stocks, bonds, investment opportunities, financial news, and talk. We can help. Call us now toll-free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
At the Magna Investment Group, our job is to maximize returns for both institutional and individual investors. We have a team of licensed investment professionals who are available to handle all facets of financial planning, insurance, and investing for individual retail accounts. Go online now at magnetinvesting.com and see what we can do to help your financial success. Call right now, 1-973-895-4444. The Magna Investment Group, a disciplined way to pick winning stocks.
I'm Selma, and I'll be your server this evening. The special is pasta primavera, and it comes with a salad. Oh, and by the way, I abuse my children. Lots of times, I beat them for even the smallest reason. When they really get on my nerves, I lock them in the closet for a few hours.
If only child abuse was this easy to recognize, perhaps then more people would report it. If you even suspect abuse, call Child Help at 1-800-4-A-CHILD or visit www.childhelp.org. We've helped millions of people help millions of children, and we can help you. All calls are anonymous and confidential. So remember, 1-800-4-A-CHILD or visit www.childhelp.org. Child Help. Trust your instincts. A public service message brought to you by Child Help and the Ad Council.
Are you tired of the government squandering your tax dollars on bailouts and overpaid bureaucrats? On Free Markets with Dr. Mike Beitler, Mike Beitler and his guests explain why big government regulations are the problem and innovative businesses and free markets are the solution. Listen to Free Markets with Dr. Mike Beitler, Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Network.
Are you ready to grow your business? Listen for the Independent Business Owners Show with your coach, Rick Corrado. This entertaining talk radio program will bring you the tools to help increase your business. You'll learn sales success, time management, lead generation, business development, life balance, and much more. Rick Corrado is here to help you take your business to the next level. Listen for the Independent Business Owners Show, heard live every Monday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Network. When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Now here's the host of Profitable Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And folks, welcome back to Magnet Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. It's a pleasure once again to bring on a friend I met just a year or so ago. It's Richard Titoriello from S&P, analyst for aerospace. And Richard, thanks so much for joining us.
Yes, good morning, Jordan. Good to be here. I just want to mention that I'm an equity analyst because we do have a lot of debt analysts. And as you mentioned, I cover aerospace and defense, and I do some quantitative work as well.
Right. Well, terrific. Thanks for the clarification. And again, we met. I've enjoyed your book, Quantitative Strategies for Achieving Alpha. It sounds like a big bite for a lot of listeners, but I think, Richard, the thing you've been on the show before, this is a mathematical way of evaluating companies. It eliminates the emotional side. And I know you contribute to Equities Magazine as I do. You were kind enough to send over your last article or one of the articles you thought you'd want to share some of the information from. So maybe just spend a minute of your own background, because I think that's really important. And then let's get into the article itself that you just wrote and why you think it's important for investors to look at the quantitative kind of longer term side.
Sure. I've been an equity analyst for about 10 years now, and focusing on a variety of industries, I got interested in quantitative analysis maybe about 5 or 6 years ago, and did a lot of work in that area. And the idea behind the book was to just look at a wide variety of investment ratios from a quantitative point of view. And what that means is taking a ratio and backtesting it using at least 20 years of data, using a very sophisticated database that we have here at S&P called the CompuStat Point in Time database, and determining whether that strategy works in terms of producing outperformance for, let's say, the top quintile or top 20% of the strategy, and producing underperformance for the bottom 20%. And so we looked at as many investment strategies as we could, ranging from profitability, valuation, cash flow growth, capital allocation, price momentum. We looked at some technical factors as well, and risk-based strategies. And we culled from the many, many factors that we tested about 42 that consistently work over time. And that's what I present in my book, and those are factors that I believe investors can rely on when choosing stocks. They don't have to use a single factor. In fact, it would be better to use multiple factors to create a more robust approach. But these are factors that work and that that can be relied upon over the long term.
Right, and let's stay on this subject for a minute before we get to the article, because I think that, that what I'm hearing, you know, I'm very familiar with the quantitative method. Magnet, in fact, you know, is one that blends value, growth, and momentum. But the point is, so many people you hear, Rich, say, market's nothing but a gamble. It's a crapshoot. You're just risking your money. And I think what you're saying is that if you take an approach of understanding businesses and digging through their balance sheets and looking at items like revenues and margins and cash flow, you can separate, say, the wheat from the chaff and kind of put them in a ranked order to say that without any certainty, these may do better, and there actually is a reason why. And it's, you know, help me if you know, to the listeners, is it a crapshoot, or do you think you can actually understand what makes a healthy company?
Well, I don't think many of us would be in business if it were a crapshoot. I think that there is what was amazing to me was the fact that you can look at factors like profitability, like valuation factors that everyone knows, that everyone's looking at, and yet they work over time. If you buy undervalued stocks and you look at factors like profitability, you look at things like cash flow, over time those portfolios consistently outperform. And I think the reason is, and this is what makes the market a crapshoot for some and not a crapshoot for others, is that human psychology plays a huge part in the market and drives down prices to the point where they're way too low, and drives prices up to the point that they're way too high. So there are both opportunities and risks, and these factors help you to find the stocks that present the opportunities for making money.
Right, and I completely agree. So let's get into like part of your last article. I remember Warren Buffett saying, you know, Mr. Market, just like you said, misprices things. He was building up cash, waiting for opportunity. So, you know, with just that said, you know, you wrote a beautiful article, and then you come up with a summation kind of where we are, stripping the emotional side right out, and you know, get into the meat of that article and what you said, because I think it's a wonderful article.
Sure. Yeah, the idea of the article, which was, by the way, written at the end of June, was to Warren Buffett had wrote, as many people will be aware, an op-ed piece for the New York Times in October of 2008, saying that, you know, things are terrible economically, the news headlines are scary, but if prices keep remain at these levels, these attractive levels, that his non-Berkshire net worth would soon be 100% in U.S. stocks. And in June, the market had run somewhere around 36%, and there were a lot of people saying, now, things were low in March, but now they're too high. Mm-hmm. And if you look back on it, the S&P was at about 946, S&P 500, in October when Warren Buffett wrote that article. It fell to a low of about 677 in March. And it was hovering right about that 977 level when I wrote the article in June. So the idea was stocks had run, but they're still on a relative basis cheap. And I looked at a variety of valuation measures, P/E ratios, free cash flow to price, enterprise value to EBITDA, over a very long span of time to show that valuation levels were actually quite low. And stocks have advanced a little bit from that point, but I think the value proposition for the stock market still stands.
Right. And again, you know, you said before that everyone kind of has all these figures, but I think it's a way, Rich, of creating some ratios themselves. I know that you'll do, like I do, you'll create screens to kind of highlight certain companies. I think the way you work with ratios that you connect together can actually make you a better investor than the crowd, so to speak. Maybe you want to talk in terms of any one of the ratios. We don't need to get into individual stocks unless you want to, but I know that you created a list off this, and several of them, you know, have done quite well, and you wouldn't expect otherwise.
Yeah, I think just going back, Jordan, to the remark you made at the beginning about trying to take an unemotional approach to investing, which is extremely difficult to do, but the idea is that what counts are the numbers. And I've been reading a book by Bernard Baruch, and that was one of his first statements in the introduction to the book. Of course, he's one of the world's greatest investors. And his comment was that his whole career on Wall Street consisted of sifting out the real facts from the psychological element that accompanied them. And by really focusing on numbers, on ratios, and particularly on ratios that have been proven to work on a quantitative basis, you can keep yourself kind of grounded in the numbers and not led too far astray by emotion. And so the screen that I wrote for this article was a rather simple screen, but I wanted to take a look at valuation in terms of what a company's earnings power could be, and how do you define earnings power? Well, one way you can do it is just look at what a company's average earnings have been over a significant period of time. I took 7 years, and what I looked at was EBITDA, that's earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. EBITDA is, you can think of it like operating income. So I looked at a company's 7-year average EBITDA, and compare that to its enterprise value, which is just the market cap of the stock plus debt minus cash, plus long-term debt minus cash. And I looked for companies where the 7-year enterprise value to EBITDA ratio was less than 7. Then I wanted profitability, current profitability, so we're looking for operating profit as a percentage of invested capital, and that's common equity plus debt, plus minority interest, greater than 20%. You could think of that like return on invested capital, greater than 20%. And because the environment is what it is, with the financial markets being a problem, I was also looking for companies with low debt ratios. So I took a ratio of total debt, that's long-term plus short-term debt, to EBITDA, less than 120%. And what that means is that these companies can cover their total debt. They could pay it back out of a little bit more than 1 year's EBITDA or operating earnings. And so that was a screen, looking for companies that are undervalued based on their average earnings power, that have good profitability, and that have low debt.
Well, you know, what you did is you delivered a tremendous list of stocks, I think, like I would expect that you did. And I'm hearing some commercial time come in, so, you know, we probably should go back to try to take some double segments when we have you on, Rich, frankly.
Sure.
But what I'll tell you, folks, The author of The Quantitative Strategies for Achieving Alpha knows what he's doing. It's Rich Titoriello from S&P, equity analyst in aerospace. If you don't mind, Rich, maybe you want to give out your contact information in case someone's bold enough to ask for the list and look for some more information.
Sure. My email address is Richard_Tortoriello. That's spelled Tortoriello at S&P. That's five letters, S-A-N-D-P, S&P.com.
Well, fantastic. Rich, listen, let me wish you a great holiday weekend with your family. Please join us again. Folks, it's a treat to hear Rich unemotionally look at the market the way you need to. And again, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Jordan.
All righty, folks, you are listening to Voice America Business. It's Magnet Investing. Coming up next, I'm going to bring on the chairman, chief executive officer of a company, folks, you might not have heard of yet. But if you want to know something about Clunkers, the program, what it's all about with recycling metals, Harry Kletter's been in the business, folks, maybe 50 or so years, one of the legends, founders of this business itself, from Industrial Services of America. You're in for a treat when you hear Harry talk. Stick with us, folks. You're going to be right back following this quick message.
Markets up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now toll free 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
At the Magnet Investment Group, our job is to maximize returns for both institutional and individual investors. We have a team of licensed investment professionals who are available to handle all facets of financial planning, insurance, and investing for individual retail accounts. Go online now at magnetinvesting.com and see what we can do to help your financial success. Call right now, 1-973-895-4444. The Magnet Investment Group, a disciplined way to pick winning stocks.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
Perform at your maximum potential, you need to have all aspects of your life working properly. On Mind, Brain, and Body, Dr. Michael John Kell will bring you honest, open discussions concerning your physical, mental, and financial health. If you're ready to find purpose and meaning in your life, tune in to Mind, Brain, and Body every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific. Mind, Brain, and Body on Voice America Health and Wellness. Radio dedicated to your health, wealth, wisdom, and purpose.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Now here's the host of Profitable Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back to Magnet Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And I want to bring on someone, anybody knows what's going on in the scrap recycling clunker business. It's the chairman, chief executive officer of Industrial Services of America. It's Harry Kletter. Harry, thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you. I'm getting prepared to go to Lake Placid to see my granddaughter skate.
Well, it's good to be a proud grandpa, but let me do this. You know, the book Magnet, the whole methodology, the M stands for management. It's one of the most important parts of business, who's running the show. Why don't you spend a couple of minutes, it's very important, on your own background and you know, what makes you, in fact, one of the nation's biggest experts on recycling and the scrap business?
Well, number one, I'm a Depression child, and I started with my family in the junk business during the Roosevelt era, all the way up to the war. Went into service in the 45, 46, came out, went into college on the GI Bill. From the GI Bill, I progressed into going back into the junk shop business, which is now, of course, called commodity business. And from that, progressed on, moved to Louisville in 1952, established a business, learned to fly, stopped buying surplus, created a waste business, went public in a waste business in 1969, about the time Berkshire was bought by Buffett. From that, I progressed on into introducing the waste business to the public market, pre-waste management. I, at the same time, was operating my scrap business, my base business, and that business had no interest in the public market at that time. Soon afterwards, I merged with a company, a New York Exchange company, moved on, kept my properties and my scrap business, and about the mid-80s, decided I wanted to be back in the public business, picked up a shell, start putting things back into this one, excluding the waste business, except a management of the waste business. And we started with Home Depot when they had 20 stores, up to 2,000 managing them, and other companies such as various companies around all over the country, all the way from Alaska to, but primarily today we're in the commodity business. And the commodity business is the scrap business. And the scrap business just finished the clunker program. And the clunker program, as everybody knows, had its good points and its bad points. I heard about the clunker program in Germany 2 years ago, pushed for the program, and it came over. I think it did a lot for the country, produced a interest in it, and helped the automotive industry. All in all, it came on at a good time because we just started up our new shredder that we had just put in. At the same time as this happened, we had bought a business called a stainless business in January. And the last first two quarters of this year were profitable. And the third quarter, of course, everybody knows that the commodity business is recovering real strong. And we happen to have an organic change that now is blossoming, and we're very happy. The industry in general is a very, very complicated industry. It's an entrepreneurial business. And it's a business that there's only five companies that are public, one being the Schnitzer Company, which is SCHN, another one being Commercial Metal, New York, SMS, an Australian, which used to be Metal Management, and MEA, which is another Metallico, and ourselves, which is IDSA. Besides that, we have Steel Dynamic that recently bought the OmniSource Network, and Nucor Board has got the River Metal, which is the old David Joseph. The industry right now has a very important future. There is no scrap.
Well, let's talk about, you know, what you think. There's a lot of people who come on and will talk in sound bites in terms of what was the clunker program, a good idea, a bad idea, is it a beginning, is it an end? You've seen business cycle after business cycle, and I remember, Harry, you telling me a couple of years ago when everyone was talking about statues being stolen in public areas that it wasn't a good time, it's too much optimism. What are you feeling these days?
Well, of course, the biggest problem in this industry is going to be there is no scrap worldwide. We've drained our resource of scrap iron, which is non-mineable as a commodity.
You got mail.
It's one that has to be created out of obsolescence, new production, and things like that. So therefore, I see the scrap business as a commodity. We go all the way from the steel items, ferrous items, stainless, into the non-ferrous. There is no material in the world. We just recently had an increase since the first year from almost $150 a ton to $300. That's already a doubling, which is equal to almost halfway through our boom of the 4 years with the Chinese. The Chinese have to wait till obsolescence hits them. Europe is short because, number one, they don't have a commodity market. Their steel mills are just coming back on stream. I'm very optimistic about the business, but I think all other businesses are going to have to work on very short margins and be very creative. Do I think they are good investments? Yes. Do I think the companies are good? Yes. Do I think the country's ready to get a booming earning out of some of these companies? No, because I think they're going to have a very difficult time of trying to get commodity volumes. And besides that, they're going to have a shortage of material. We happen to do some things that are unique, and that's really been my career. One thing I've done my whole life, I know how to turn on different lights, and it reminds me of the day I was a young and they had zoot suits, and they used to have all-white suits, and if you wanted a colored suit, you just they turn on the light, and that's how you got your other color.
Let me tell you what's interesting, folks. I want to just, you know, kind of back up here. On our show, we don't promote any companies. We don't promote any stocks. You happen to be the chairman of, you know, one of, like you mentioned, one of the few companies in the entire industry. What we'll tell everybody is they need to always do homework before they make an investment, especially when it's less liquid. Your company, we're not even really talking about your company itself, but it's one of the companies that you don't trade in. You'd have to invest in it. You'd have to believe in its future, and you'd have to expect to be patient. Talking about patience, you know, what I don't hear you doing yourself is looking to get out of the business. I hear a lot of enthusiasm about you actually growing your business, despite you saying you might not have enough things to cut up and resell.
Well, as you in all these businesses, like the waste business and many other businesses, you have to find alternatives. You got to find your volumes, and you have to learn the market, and you have to learn how to make a position in the area you are, which has to do with demographics and many other things. Knowledge of management, having management that understands all the things and how to drive the business. I've been an advocate of management concept way back in the old days. I learned, fortunately, through a couple seminars with American Management Association and things like that, and learned that you have to be different. You have to be different because you, in times like we are now, which is the toughest period we've had since the Depression, and much different than the Depression, because the Depression, we had nothing, we needed nothing. This one, we all need something. So therefore, I think as a business owner of the commodity business, it isn't just coming in there and having the equipment. You got to have the know-how, the ingenuity, and your investors have to study everything about that company. Yes, is it a good industry? Will it grow? Well, I can only say that when I did the waste business, we all know that the 3-4 companies that remain are giants today, but they went through some very difficult periods too. The scrap industry is similar. There are some other companies that need to come into public picture, so the investor has many choices, and he can choose ones that are to his best ability of knowledge of companies in order to make a good investment.
Well, that makes a lot of sense to me. It really, you know, what you're talking about is not crapshooting again. It's about knowing your business, putting in a tremendous amount of work ahead of time, becoming an expert in a narrow field so that, in fact, you do have an advantage. I see personally that's one of your advantages, that they say, you know, hard work actually shows up in the picture of overalls and rolling up your sleeves and doing hard work, and I don't think you've ever shied away from that.
Well, you know, Grandpa knows a lot by experience. And he needs to pass it on, and investors have to hear the true story and what's going. We are not trying to promote a new business. We're an old business. We come back to pre-war, during the war effort of World War II. So all we have to do is operate it prudently and show people that we can make a profit. We are in a business that's very essential because you cannot keep mining and bringing things in. It's very expensive. So therefore, it's a teaching business that we as the industry have to teach, and it's also the investor has to learn.
Well, let me just say, you know, one of my favorite expressions is when an old man dies, a library burns down. And, you know, let me say that you have many good years ahead for you, I hope. I'm going to try to help you get the exposure you need to kind of teach this generation all the lessons you've learned. Let me take the time to wish you, your granddaughter, a great skate. Have fun with her. And then let's make sure that we get together and help the public to understand this very important business and what it means to the country.
Okay, thanks, Jordan. We'll talk again, and good luck to the public.
Well, good. Let me thank you for your time. Folks, you are listening to Voice America Business. It's Magnet Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. We just heard from a legend in the scrap and metals business, folks. Hope you enjoyed it. We're going to be right back following this quick break to wrap it up.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now toll free 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
At the Magnet Investment Group, our job is to maximize returns for both institutional and individual investors. We have a team of licensed investment professionals who are available to handle all facets of financial planning, insurance, and investing for individual retail accounts. Go online now at magnetinvesting.com and see what we can do to help your financial success. Call right now, 1-973-895-4444. The Magnet Investment Group, a disciplined way to pick winning stocks.
Show. Are you ready for some football? Well, here it comes. The Owen Hodge Show is bringing you the funniest hour in sports talk radio. This action-packed show is hosted by the outspoken fullback, Big Hodge, and the knowledgeable defensive back, Odie. This show will focus on the NFL, but touch on all things sports. Owen Hodge will provide you with a true player's perspective that'll give you insight, make you think, and definitely make you laugh. Owen Hodge have accumulated 6 championship rings, so obviously they know things. Check out the Owen Hodge Show at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network. The Owen Hodge Show.
Looking for a good time? We've got a show that will give you a wild ride. This show will make you feel good.
And it's not even bad for you.
You need your time to let loose. It's time for a feel-good party. Pull up to the computer, mix yourself a drink, and turn up the speakers. Happy Hour is here. Every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. It's called the biggest radio show in the world. Hosted by international personality and pundit Michael DeMarco.
You don't know what's coming next.
The biggest radio show in the world on Voice America.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Now here's the host of Profitable Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back, everybody. Welcome to Magnet Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And listening to our guests, and this is where I always like to bring on outside experts, kind of helps me to put things in my own perspective. And I just opened up the book that I just came out from John Wiley. It's on our website, magnetinvesting.com. They've been bringing me on CNBC and Fox for the last couple of weeks, because it's really had an interesting impact on the thought process of not diversifying your portfolio, not going out and buying a little bit of everything so you don't lose all your money in one place. It's really a matter of trying to focus your efforts. And, you know, the other part of it where Harry talked a moment ago about all the work he's done in his company, let me read you, you know, out of Chapter 11, the quotes that begin the chapter, because I think it's so important. People try to minimize or how easy this business can be, how easy with a little software package. But great investor Robert Ria came out and said, no profession requires more hard work, intelligence, patience, and mental discipline than successful speculation. And in that same chapter, we'll use the name Bernard Baruch, one of my favorite investors, in fact, great authors that Rich Dottoriello brought up. He says even being right 3 or 4 times out of 10 should yield the person a fortune if he has the sense to cut his losses quickly on his ventures where he's been wrong. And this is one of the most important parts, I believe, of what just took place in terms of the stock market itself, and the crash, in fact, that just took place. And I think that one of the things that happened is that the feeling is that, well, if you're diversified, you've cut so much risk out of your portfolio that, heck, why not take a bond portfolio that's very, very diversified already and leverage it up 30 times or 20 times? And I think what happened here is very clear that a pullback turned into a sell-off in the capital markets, which then set off a landslide in the equity markets as trust kind of got out of the way when everyone realized that the individuals themselves who are running Wall Street had just drank their own poison. And again, nobody in the investment business is ever, ever trying to do an investor harm. They, because you want more business, Frank. You want more clients, more referrals, more business, and so on. So it wasn't that Wall Street tried to drink poison. They just overbelieved this concept of diversification and didn't recognize that it was leverage that would kill them, not actually whether they were concentrated or diversified in a portfolio, whether it be fixed income or equities. And again, you go back to the name Warren Buffett, who bought very publicly Goldman Sachs at precisely one of the wrong times to buy it, saw his investment cut in half, and now sitting up 50% where he made his very public investment, you know, only 9 months ago. He didn't get shaken out. Had he used margin and excessive leverage in his purchase of Goldman Sachs, he would have gone bankrupt, frankly. He would have been out of business. Berkshire Hathaway would have been ruined completely. But instead, because he was not on margin and because he was able to ride through a cycle, actually probably, and I don't know whether he did or not, maybe bought more stock. I know he averaged into a couple of his companies while they were declining. But again, it comes down to this philosophy that Wall Street just believed they wanted equity returns from fixed income. Now, folks, you can't do that. In the fixed income market, you're saying to yourself, we will accept a lower risk or a lower volatility or a lower return, all of the above. Once you decide that you're going to try to get equity returns or higher returns through fixed income, through leverage, leverage works in both directions. It could work for you, and it could work against you. And we saw leverage do exactly mincemeat into Wall Street. Now, I go back, I just flipping through, I talk about the bell curve and stock market superlatives. One of the great quotes in life, and I'm not sure who Somerset Maugham is, I really ought to look into it because I'm borrowing their quote, but it says, it's a funny thing about life. If you refuse to accept anything but the best, you often get it. Now, just think about setting up hurdles for companies and saying a company has to have one of the highest percentage top-line revenue growth versus the market. And then saying at the same time the company has to have one of the highest profit margin accelerations of any company in the business. And then you say, well, it also has to have one of the best valuations of any company in the business. And you take it further and say it also has to have some of the best performance of the company of anybody in the business. And it has to have, well, you get the message, folks. We set up 16 different criterias or hurdles for companies to go over. No excuses allowed. And anybody left standing at the end of that hurdle is a magnet stock. And we're seeing companies, we're not going to even mention any names, but I want to talk about technology for a minute. 30 years ago, a special agent or secret service or what do they call them? They're in the fields, folks. They're actually protecting our country. And this guy sitting in a private area realized he had to send communications back to base, and he literally developed text messaging 30 years ago in the military. Well, that has recently been commercialized. We know we're all sending text messages right now. There's a very small public company that basically gets a royalty with roughly one out of every four text messages sent in this country, and there's probably not 10 analysts in this country that even know the company's name. Well, it made our screen. I could never have found the company without the technology that I use. There's another company which got into the internet space that allows insurance agents to go through the internet and connect with all the insurance companies and then go through them and actually find the best policy for the individuals. And the company's growing by leaps and bounds. And guess what? It wouldn't surprise you to know the company's one of the leaders in this market, hitting a new high every day for the last 2 weeks, folks, with analysts just picking them up. Well, it was the number two ranked stock in our book, and no, I won't give out the name of it. Go buy yourself a copy of The Magnet Method of Investing, not for the names of the companies, folks, but to learn the process. Teach a man to fish, you feed him for life, folks. That's really what we're all about here. What you need to do is to throw the clutter out of your mind, insist on the best, don't leverage yourself. And that leaves you time, like Harry's doing, to go see his granddaughter skate, to give back to society. It's not what we have and what we make is how we're remembered, but in fact, what we give back. And that's the key here. So enjoy the holiday weekend. We're coming back into autumn. Have a great holiday weekend. Don't forget to kiss the kids at night. Stay balanced. Stay profitable. We'll see you right here on Magnet Investing, same time next week. Voice America Business. Folks, have a great holiday. Great to be with you. We'll see you next week.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Tune in for another exciting hour of profitable investing right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.